Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erevin Daf Yud Zayin, the last daf of the first parak of Maseches Erevin. We're holding all the way back on Tez Zayin Amud Beis, about 15, 16 lines from the end of the page, a couple of words before the end of the line at the two dots, Makifin Bekanim. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of the wedding of his granddaughter Margalit Silver and Matan Goldman. Mazel tov to the parents, Leah and Yitzi Silver and Stacy and Amir Goldman. And in appreciation of the Daf Yomi shiur, we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss today is we were talking a little bit yesterday about a mechitza sakonim. What if you have a mechitza that's made only of vertical poles? So we're going to talk about how much of an area mechitza sakonim will work for and who it works for. When does it work? Does it only work for people who are traveling? Does it work for anybody? How much of an area do we allow it to enclose? So that's the first discussion. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a mechitza sakonim only works for a certain number of people and not for a different number of people. What if the number of people changes on Shabbos? What if circumstances change in middle of Shabbos? So does a mechitza that was valid at the beginning of Shabbos, even metaltel inside of it, now become invalid in the middle of Shabbos? We're going to try to connect this to a discussion of what happens if mechitzos in general just change in the middle of Shabbos. A lechi comes down, a korah comes down in the middle of Shabbos. How do we view that? Do we assume that once Shabbos began and it was mutter, it stays mutter? Or that the circumstances are able to change in middle of Shabbos? Then the last mishnah in the parak is going to move away from Erevin a little bit, and it's going to tell us four different kulas that we have for soldiers. Because once we're talking about the different kulas of Erevin, legabe eshayara, for a caravan of people, so people who are not in their normal location, and therefore we take certain kulas. So the Mishnah is going to list four different kulas that we have that soldiers are allowed to take, and the Gemara is going to discuss what the takana of that soldiers are allowed to take wood from people's fields. What that adds if Yoshua was already misaken that. So what does the Mishnah add to that? And then the Gemara is going to talk about where to bury a soldier in the battlefield and where to bury a mace mitzvah. We're going to talk about the patur of washing that soldiers have. So which washing are we talking about? Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim, what's that all about? And the Gemara is going to conclude with a discussion of Eruv as it relates to soldiers, whether it's Eruv, that soldiers are exempt from some sort of Eruv. Is that Eruv Chatzerus or Eruv Tchumin? And whether the Isra of Eruv Tchumin is an Isra Daraisa or not. So let's, or the Isra of carrying outside of the Tchum, rather, I should say, is an Isra Daraisa or not. So let's begin again. We're about 15, 16 lines from the end of the page. On Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis. So Makifin Bekanim. So we said you're allowed to make poles around an area, and you're allowed to carry in that area. But the Mishnah had said, Bishayara Dibre Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's only a Shayara, that's only a caravan of traveling people, so they can make kanim and use that as a mechitza. So says Mar, Bishayara in Biyachado. Do you mean to tell me that really only a Shayara, but an individual, is not allowed to rely on a mechitza shal kanim? Vatanya, but I'll bring you a brisa that tells me otherwise. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Mechitza Shabbos. Any mechitza of Shabbos that's not a full-fledged mechitza. It's only mechitza of shi or erev. It's only mechitza that's vertical or only horizontal. Lo itiru liyachid yosim beis asayim. A yachid is only allowed to rely on such a mechitza for an area of a beis asayim, but not to surround an area of more than beis asayim. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa. In the Mishnah, though, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow it for a yachid at all. That we're just not matir mechitza sakanim for a yachid. Over here, we're saying that he does allow out for a yachid, just not for an area larger than a beis asayim. Since the Gemara, kida amar Rav Nachman, we could touch up Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who doesn't allow it for a yachid along the lines of Rav Nachman, v'item Rabbi Barabaye, the lo nitzcha elitein land called Tzarchan. When we say that it doesn't work for a yachid, we mean it doesn't work in a limitless way for a yachid. That a yachid cannot just surround as large an area as he wants with a mechitza shalkanim. So hachanami kidei elitein land called Tzarchan. So just like Rabbi Barbaye had said in a different context, or Rav Nachman had said in a different context, that something is only about Litein and Kol Tzarchan, so the way to touch up Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah as well, when he says that a Yachid is not allowed to use Mechitza Shalkanim, it just means that he's not allowed to use it in a limitless way. So says Mar Hecha Idmar Rav Nachman Litein Rabbi Barbaye, what was the original context where this statement was made, that that is kedelit and now called sarkan. So ahad the tanan it came in the context of the Mishnah. Kol mechitza sheirish shall see ve'eriv ein mechitza div Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yuda says any mechitza that's not made up of both vertical and horizontal poles is not a mechitza. Meaning you're not allowed to use just a mechitza that's only vertical poles or only horizontal poles. So the Gemara asks miyam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yuda achi. Does Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yuda really hold such a shita? Va'tanya, but don't we have a brisa echad yachad ve'echad sheyara lechavalim? Both the yachad and the sheyara are allowed to use a mechitza of chavalim. Uma ben yachad l'shayar chaval means ropes. Uma ben yachad l'shayara. What's the whole difference between yachad and sheyara? The yachad nosin lo beis asayim, a shnayim nosin lo beis asayim, shlosha nasu sheyara v'nasu lo beis sheish. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yuda, that a yachid only gets to surround an area of Beis Asayim, and two people also only get to surround an area of a Beis Asayim, because two people also have a din of a yachid, so they only get a Beis Asayim to surround themselves with if they're using ropes to make the mechitza. The pashas of the Gemara is that the two people together only get a single Beis Asayim. The Meiri, however, quotes a shita that holds that it's Beis Asayim lekol echad ve'echad, that it's base arba si'im, but the Meiri says that that's a little bit strange, because the Hemshech is going to say that when you have three people, it's nasu shayara, their halacha fundamentally changes, and now they get base sheish si'im. So it sounds like three people has a new kula that we didn't have previously. Well, if two people gets four si'im, then it's just you just add two si'im for each person, and it's not really a fundamental kula. So it has to be that shnayim noslem base si'im does not mean the kula. Means the two of them together only get Beis Asayim. Oh, but once you have three people, now they have a new label. They're called the Shayara, and now they get Beis Sheish in. So that's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Chacham say whether it's a Yachid or whether it's a Shayara, you give them whatever they need, however much space they need. As long as you don't leave a Beis Asayim empty, being totally unused. So what do you see from the Brisa? So that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda allows a Yachid to be makif an area of Beis Asayim and a Shayara to be makif an area of Sheish Se'in. That's against what he says in our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah he says, Kol mechitza she'en shel shasi ve'erev ein mechitza. That a mechitza that's not made of both horizontal and vertical poles is not a mechitza. Yet over here, with certain limitations, he allows a mechitza shel chavalim, which is only horizontal lines. So why is that allowed? So in that context, some Rav Nachman, Vitem Rabbi Barbai, Lenitzucha, Elitin Lankol Tzarchan. When he says in our Mishnah that a mechitza that's not shel shasi ve'erev is not a mechitza at all, it means it's not a mechitza that's going to be matir in an unlimited way. It's going to be a limiting kind of mechitza, but it will count for something. So too, when it comes to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that bekanim is only mutter b'shayara, but not for a yachid, it means for a yachid it's only going to be mutter in a limited way, but not in an unlimited way. So now the Gemara discusses, how do we paskin in this machlokas tanoim? Darash avnach mishum Rabbi Yishmuel, yachid nosin lo beis asayim, shnayim nosin beis asayim, shlosha nasu shayara v'nosin beis sheish. That we paskin like this sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, we just quoted in the Brisa, that a Yachid gets a Beis Asayim, two people get a Beis Asayim, three people become a Shayara, they get Beis Sheish in. So I asked the Gemara, wait a second, Shavakta Rabbanan, you're abandoning the Sheet of the Chacham that hold that whether it's a Yachid or whether it's a Shayara, they get as much space as they need, as long as they're Makif with some sort of Mechitzos, Va'avad Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and you're going to follow the Sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda against the Rabbanan? That's not normally the rules of Psak. Normally you'd have to follow the Rabbim. So says Rav Nachman Amora Ale. Rav Nachman ultimately had a maturgaman that said over his shiurim v'darash, and he through the maturgaman he announced dvarim shamati lefneichem tolos hein v'yadi. Whatever I told you previously was a mistake. V'ram kach amru yachin nosan beis asayim shayin nosan beis asayim shloshin nasu shiur v'nosan kol tzarchan, that yachin or shnayim get beis asayim. Three people, not sheish si'im, they get called tzarchan. So therefore, we're not following the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that a shayara only gets based sheish si'im. We pass them like the Rabbanan that they get at least as far as a shayara is concerned, that they get called tzarchan. The Ritva just points out over here that some the Yesh Mefarshim, he quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, that originally Rav Nachman wanted to pass on Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, even against the Rabbim, that are cholik on him, because Rabbi Yossi Nimuko Imo, that we have that principle that we had back in the, that we had previously, that Rabbi Yossi is Nimuko Imo, that we pass on like Rabbi Yossi. So they said, no, that doesn't work when he argues on the Rabbim, and that's why he changed his mind. But the Ritva says, no, that's not the Pshat over here. Rabbi Yossi Nimuko Imo is not about Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Nimuko Imo is about Stam Rabbi Yossi. Stam Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So that can't be the Pshat, that he originally wanted to pass on like Rabbi Yossi based on the principle of Rabbi Yossi Nimuko Imo, that he always explains logically what his Shita is. There must be some other Pshat as to why it is that he initially wanted to pass on like Rabbi Yossi. So says Gemara, wait a second, Reisha Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda v'Seifa Rabbanan. But now he's not even passing like anybody, because originally he's saying like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda that he only gets based Asayim, and then he says, oh, but if it's a Shiara you get called Tzarcho, and that's like the Rabbanan. But the Rabbanan actually hold even a Yachid gets called Tzarcho. So how can you split the Psak? You're following Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in one line, and then the very next line you follow the Shita of the Rabbanan. So it says Marin Mishum Tekaya Avua B'Shita Say. Yeah, because his father Rabbi Yehuda Paskin like this Shita. He holds in the Mishnah that only a Shayara are allowed to use a Mechitza of Chavalim, but a Yachid is only allowed to use a Mechitza of Chavalim up until a Beis Hasayim. So we have this third Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that's sort of a compromise approach, that a Mechitza that's only Shal Shi or only Shal Erev is good enough for a Shayara in an unlimited way, but for a Yachid in a very limited way, that it only works up until Beis Hasayim. Amrav Gidol Rav Shlosha B'chamish Asurin B'sheva Mutarin. That sometimes you can have an unusual case. You might have a Shayara of three people that are allowed to use a fence that surrounds an area of five Se'im, but in other circumstances you could have a group of three people that are you could have a case where three people are not allowed to use a Mechitza to even surround an area of five Beis Sa'ah, but are allowed to use an area of seven Beis Sa'ah in other circumstances. So how does that make sense? Amalei, Amar Rav Hachi, does Rav say such a thing? It seems like such a strange thing. You would think the larger the area you're enclosing, the less mutter it's going to be. Some of the Arais and Viyuksivi Dam Rav Hachi. Yes, absolutely, I swear by the Torah Nevi Muksuvim that Rav said such a thing. It's a Lashon of Shvua. So Amar Rav Ashi, my Kasha, because what's the problem with it? Dilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe what he meant to say was as follows. That if they needed six Pesach for whatever it is that they're using the area for, they have a lot of Kalim, they have a lot of Adam, whatever it is that they need the area for, but if they need the area of six and then they're Makif, an area of seven, that's Mutter, because the discrepancy between what they need and what they're being Makif is only one Pesach. But if they only really need an area of five and then they're Makif, an area of seven, so now the discrepancy between what they need and what they're doing is a two base sa'ah discrepancy. So if it's a base asayim discrepancy, then we're going to then it's going to be asu. You cannot leave base asayim that are panui, that are open, and then when you do that, the entire area becomes asu to use, even the area that you need, because it's nifritz on the makom ha'asula. Those base asayim are makom ha'asula, and therefore the entire area becomes asu. So that's how we could explain why sometimes three people in an area of base chamish sin is going to be asur, because they only need three sin, and in an area of seven sin is going to be mutter, because they need six sin. Sevela hadik tani b'vachli beis asayim panoi my lav panoi me adam. But wait a second, when we say that beis asayim cannot be panoi, doesn't it mean panoi me adam that you have three people that have an area of shmona sin, of eight sin, that even if you give two beis asayim to each one of them, you're still going to have two extras? So that's where it doesn't work. But it sounds like that if it's seven, where it's not panui me adam, where each person could be allotted a base asayim, and then you won't have an extra base asayim, that's going to be mutter. So it says, lo, panui me kelim. No, it doesn't necessarily mean panui me adam, that each person is allotted an area of base asayim. It means that they get to determine how much they need for whatever, for kelim or anything else. So sometimes you can have three people that need a larger area. So it's not an automatic that it's base asayim for each person. If this group of three needs a larger area, and they happen to need seven besa, good, so then they can be makif an area of eight besa. They just can't be makif an area that's besa sayim larger than what they actually need. So period, that's the end of that discussion. So now the Gemara discusses, okay, now that we said that it makes a difference how many people are there, that two people only get besa sayim. Ooh, three people becomes a shayara, a kol tzarcha, and now they get as large an area as they want. What happens if those numbers change in the middle of Shabbos? So does the halacha adjust accordingly? So itmar, shlosha umeis echad mehem. Let's say you started with a shayara of three people, and one of them dies in the middle of Shabbos. Now you only have two people, so they allow to be metaltal in that area. Or, more cheerfully and happily, shnayim v'nitosfu aleihen. They started with two people, and then someone else joined them on Shabbos. So now do they become a shayara of three that gets an unlimited space? So it's machlokas Rav Huna Yitzchak whether Shabbos is goreh, meaning whatever the halacha was when Shabbos started, that's what it remains, and it doesn't matter that circumstances changed in the middle of Shabbos. Whereas the other opinion says, no, diurin goreh, that it's all about how many people are there, and if that number of people changes in the middle of Shabbos, then the halacha changes accordingly. So tistayim Rav Huna Huda Amar Shabbos goremes. If we have to figure out who says what, it's most likely that Rav Huna is the one that says that when Shabbos starts, that's where we decide what the halacha is going to be, and it stays that way even though circumstances may change over Shabbos. Why? Where else do we find that Rav Huna says something similar, that once Shabbos starts, that's it, and that's what we stick with? Dama Rabba Bai Me Rav Huna. Rabba reported that he once asked Rav Huna the Shaila Ubai Me Rav Yehuda, and also he asked the Shaila from Rav Yehuda, Irev Derech HaPesach Menistam HaPesach. Let's say you have two chatzeros that have a wall in between them, but there's a Pesach in that wall, so they could choose to either make separate Eruvei Chatzeros, each Chatzer individually, or if they want to be able to carry from one Chatzer to the other, they could join together in Eruv Chatzeros Derech HaPesach, because there's a Pesach between these two Chatzeros. So in that sense, they're viewed like they could choose to be viewed like a single Chatzer. So what if they make such an Eruv Derech HaPesach, and then the Pesach gets closed up? Or Derech HaChalon V'nistam HaChalon. They make an Eruv Derech HaChalon through the window, and then the chalon gets closed up. So mahu, what's the halacha? Do we assume that the Erev now becomes batal because now there are two totally independent chatzeros that have no connection to each other? Or do we say, no, when Shabbos started, it was a valid Erev, so now it remains a valid Erev? Va'amar li, and Rav Huna responded to me, Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra, that since Shabbos was mutra at the beginning of Shabbos, carried from one to the other, it remains that way even though the physical reality on the ground changed. So you see that Rav Huna holds Shabbos. So if he holds by an Erev between two Chatzeros where the opening gets closed up, that the Halacha does not change in the middle of Shabbos. So when the number of Diurin change in the middle of Shabbos, the Halacha is also not going to change in the middle of Shabbos. So it's Estayim. So says Gemara, yeah, that seems to be a pretty good Raya, that Rav Huna is the one that holds, that if we want to identify which is the sheet that holds Shabbos Karemes, it is in fact Rav Huna. So says Gemara, but maybe this connects to another Machlokes. Lema Rav Huna Rabbi Yitzchok beplukta, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda kamiflgi. Maybe this machlokas amarayim is really a machlokas tanoim. Titznan, we have a Mishnah later on in Daf Tzadi Dalid. Chatzah shenivritza mishtei ruchos seha. Let's say you have a chatzah that opens up two side mechitzos of the chatzah, just open up. So the walls cave in on Shabbos. V'chein bayis shenivritza mishtei ruchosav. Or a house has the walls cave in on two sides. Two sides just mean in the corner, that you're off in the corner, and this wall came down, and that wall came down off in the corner. So now you no longer are surrounded by proper mechitzos. V'chein mavoi shenitlu korosav aluchayav. Or you have a mavoi where the beams of the mavoi or the lechis of the mavoi are removed from the mavoi. Rashi says, no, it should be koroso alechio in singular. You don't need two koros on a mavoi. And Tosos writes about that Rashi in Dibra Maskel Korosa. of that Rashi is correct, because even though we do find the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that a mavoi mefulash, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have a mavoi that's open on both sides, you could use just a korah on each side, and that would be matirit. But to describe the case that this Mishnah is trying to describe is where something changes in the middle of Shabbos that would take a mavoi that was okay and make it no longer okay. You don't need both korahs to fall down to make it not okay. A single korah falling down will already take away the heter of that mavoi. So that's why Rashi's girsa change is correct, says Tosfos, that a korah from the mavoi came down on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? So mutaran los for Shabbos v'asurin los the love of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Shabbos you're good, because that Shabbos, when Shabbos started, that mavoi was okay to carry it, so you're allowed to continue to carry that mavoi on Shabbos. After Shabbos, next Shabbos, it's going to be a problem. You better do something to fix it in time for next Shabbos. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, umutaron los Shabbos, umutaron los lavav, umasurun los lavav, asurun los Shabbos. No, you always have to look at the circumstance as it is now. The halacha doesn't change based on the fact that, oh, you're grandfathered in. There's no such thing in halacha that since this Shabbos started and it was okay, so it remains okay. Every time, you have to look at it. What are the mechitzos that I have right now? If you have the proper mechitzos, good. And if you don't have them, no good. So right now, so since it's not going to be okay for next Shabbos, it's not going to be okay for now either. So what do you see? That you have Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, whether you say Shabbos, Holva, Hutra, that Rabbi Yehuda would say that the beginning of Shabbos is the Koveya, because at the beginning of Shabbos there were full Mechitzos, and therefore you're allowed to carry there the entire Shabbos, even after the Mechitzos come down. And Rabbi Yossi is going to say, no, beginning of Shabbos doesn't make a difference. Look at what it is now. So Leimer, Rav Huna, Damak, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Huna, see, who says Shabbos Karebes seems to say exactly like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak who said the Urin Gorman, that you look at how many people are there living there right now. If one of them died and you don't have a Shayara anymore, then it changes everything. Dabak Rabbi Yossi, that follows the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. So says Gemara, no, these two machlokas are not necessarily aligned with each other. Amalach Ravuna, Anoda Amri Afil Rabbi Yossi. Ravuna could say, I fit sheet of Rabbi Yossi as well, because Ad Kandokam Rabbi Yossi also El Delasin Lemachitzos. Hacha is Lemachitzos. Rabbi Yossi only said Shabbos Olva Hutra because that we don't say Shabbos Olva Hutra, that we say we look at the current situation because the Mechitzos aren't there anymore. But in our case, where it's about how many people count as a Shayara and how much space we're going to be making, but the Mechitzos are at least there the whole time. The Mechitzos that the Shayara made are still intact. So Rabbi Yossi would be moda that a change in population is not going to change the halacha. A change in mechitzos would change the halacha. Rabbi Yitzchak would say, I know the Amri Afil Rabbi Yehuda, that I could fit Shitas Rabbi Yehuda as well, because that can look on Rabbi Yehuda Asam Elo de Isnu L'Diorin. Rabbi Yehuda only said over there that we say Shabbos Olva Hutra Hutra because the number of people living there remains the same. But hacha, when it comes to the Shayara, less than L'Diorin, even though the mechitzos stayed the same, the number of people have changed, and therefore that changes the situation entirely. So in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda would be moda that we don't say Shabbos Olva Hutra Hutra. Meaning, the Gemara's maskana is that both Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak would say that sometimes Shabbos Goremes, and sometimes it's not Shabbos Goremes. Sometimes it's a situation that's Gorem. You have to look at what the situation is right now. It's just that Rav Huna thinks that the ikur to look at is the mechitzos, and therefore if the mechitzos change over Shabbos, you can no longer say Shabbos Goremes, but if the diurim change, then you'll say, whatever it was at the beginning of Shabbos. And Rabbi Yitzchak would say that the diurim are the ikar, and therefore, if the diurim change over Shabbos, the entire area becomes aser. But if the mechitzos change, then it's not such a big deal. So that's it's a machlokas of emphasis of what's the more important point. Is it the diurim or the mechitzos that are the more important point? Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz just raises a very simple question over here. According to the Gemara's maskan over here, Rabbi Yitzchak would be moda when Isnuhu diurin, right, when you have diurin. So if that's the case, remember the Gemara said that it was Rav Huna that the discussion about a change in the number of diurin was a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak, and we weren't sure which one said which. So we said, oh, we know that it must be Rav Huna who says Shabbos Goremes. How do I know Rav Huna Shabbos Goremes when the number of people changes? Because we had this case of a chatzer with a wall in between them and a Pesach in that wall, and then the Pesach was closed up, and And Rav Huna said that that it stays the same, that Shabbos is Gorim. Well, wait a second. Those two things have nothing to do with each other now, according to the Maskana of the Gemara. The case of Diurim changing is very different than the case of the Mechitza in between two Chatzeros changing. One is a difference in Diurim, and the other is a difference in Mechitzos. So how can we be so sure, the Maskana of Gemara, that Rav Huna is the one that said that Shabbos Goremes? So that's what Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz raises, the Kasha Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz raises, and he answers very simply. He says that once the Pesach is closed between the two Chatzeros, that's not just a difference in Mechitzos, that's a difference in Diurim. Meaning when there's a Pesach between two Chatzeros, that means that all of the residents of both Chatzeros are residents of each other's Chatzer also. That they cross over into each other's Chatzer. Once you close that Pesach, you've changed, not just the Mechitzos, you've changed the Diurim. So that's how we know that Rav Huna in fact holds, in a case of change of Diurim, that we look at the beginning of Shabbos and what the status was at the beginning of Shabbos. Okay, then the Mishnah went weiter and said, "V'chol momrim echad b'shnei dvarim." That a mechitza could be a mechitza shel shi or a mechitza of erev. It doesn't need to be both. So says Gemara, "Hayna Tanakama." Well, that's exactly what the Tanakama said. What are the Chum adding beyond what the Tanakama said? So yigibinayu yachid b'yishuv. Now, what they argue about is a halacha of a yachid who's in middle of a city where there are plenty of building materials around, and he could have built himself a perfectly fine fence. When do we allow a mechitza shel shi or a mechitza shel erev and say it's fine, he can use it for as much as he needs it for, even a makom that's much bigger than Meitz HaSayim, it's perfectly fine? Is that only when he's out in a bika and it's hard to find a normal fence, or is it even when he's b'yishuv? According to the Tanakama, who the chacham that disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama, a yachid is only allowed to be makiv kol tzarcha with a mechitza that's a mechitza grua in a bika, because he doesn't have regular building material. But according to this chacham at the end, they're matter even for a yachid who's b'yishuv, he's allowed to use a mechitza grua. Okay, now we're up to the last Mishnah in the first parak of Masech Zerivin. Arbad varm patr b'machna. So again, since the previous Mishnahs were talking about certain kulas that we have by Erivin for a shayara, so now we're going to discuss certain kulas that we have for soldiers, for an army, and one of them relates to Eruvei Chatzeros, and that's why we mention all of them. So arbad varm patr b'machna. There are four things that those who are in a machna for Melchama are patr from. Number one, mevi'in etzim mikol makom. They could bring firewood that they need from wherever they want, even from other people's fields, and that's not a violation of Gezel. Tiferes Yisrael explains in the Mishnayos, Hefker Bezen Hefker. The Chum simply allow it, that's just in order to supply the soldiers what they need. Number two, Peturim Yerchitzis Yadayim. They don't have to wash before eating a meal. The Gemara is going to say later on that it's a Netilas Yadayim Mayim Rishonim, before eating a meal. Rabbeinu Yohanan writes that they're potter from Netilas Yadayim Letfila as well. That they could be mekaneach yedayim ba'afar or something like that. So, but they're part from Tilus Yadayim. Number three, umi demai. They're also pater from demai, meaning they could eat peros v'nama aretz without being mafresh trumas amaisros. And umila arev, and they can they're pater from making eruvei chatzeros between two chatzeros in the machane. Now, three out of these four things, I could see why they are they relate to soldiers in particular, and they might be an issue for soldiers, right? That they may need to take certain kulas with regard to erevin, because they're not in their regular home base where they have something set up on a consistent basis from week to week. That makes sense. They're going to need firewood. They're out in the middle of in camping in the middle of nowhere. They're not always going to have access to water in the Tilas Yadayim. That makes a lot of sense. What's the thing about demai? Is demai like more readily available to soldiers than other kinds of food? So Rabbeinu Yohanan, one of the Rishonim, says yes, that it was apparently the minhag in those times that the Amei Aretz would bring to the soldiers. They would bring food to the soldiers, so the people who are supplying the food are Amei Aretz, so they needed to be makel about demai in order to enable them to eat properly. So those are the reason we're allowed to be makel about demai is because the halacha really is that Rov Amei Aretz Masrinin. Rov Amei Aretz actually do take Shumas HaMaisos, so it's only a din midraban, and they have to be choshesh that the Amei Aretz you're getting from is maybe from the miyut who doesn't take Shumas HaMaisos. So in such a circumstance, you're allowed to rely that these Amei Aretz did take Shumas HaMaisos. So now, Tanur Rabbanan, Machna Yosef Melchamas HaRashus, Mutarim Begezel Eitzim Yveshim. When soldiers are going out for Melchamas HaRashus, they're allowed to take wood from the fields, even though it's normally a violation of gezel, and they're allowed to take even when it's dry wood. Dry wood is more valuable, obviously, for firewood, so they're allowed to use that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, av chon b'kol makom, they can even encamp wherever they want, even in Rishos HaYachid if they want. Another thing about soldiers is if they get killed, they get buried on that spot. And whoever owns that area can't say, I don't want my field to turn into a cemetery. Doesn't matter. If that's where the guy died, then he's kona that makom. So the Brisa tells him, so the fact that they're allowed to take wood, that's not later takana, a special kula that for the Anshei Tzava, that's the takanas Yoshua for the entire Jewish people. Damar Mar, because the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama tells us on Daf Pei Amud Beis that Asara Tanoim Hisni Yoshua, the Yoshua Ben Nun made 10 conditions for the entire Jewish people when they were Manchel Eretz Yisrael, and one of them is Shumarein B'Chorshin, that they could feed their animals in forests, that everyone is allowed to go and have their animals graze in a forest, in someone else's forest, and the owner of that forest is not allowed to say that that you're causing me any loss, because it's not Omid the Ketzira, and therefore they're allowed to go there. Umalaktinei to me, so the same. And another halacha, that everyone is allowed to go take wood out of other people's fields, and the Bala Sada cannot stop him. So why do the Chum need to be misaking Dafka for Anshei Tzava, that they're allowed to go, and they're allowed to take wood? Everybody's allowed to take wood. It's Takanas Yehoshua. Says the Gemara, three differences. Hasam b'izmi b'higi, hacha b'shar etzim. That first of all, Yehoshua was only matir by thorns and things like that to take from fields, but over here we're even allowing other etzim. Inami, hasam b'mechubarin, hacha b'tlushin. Yehoshua was only misakin for wood that's still attached to the ground. Over here we allow the Anshei Machna to even take from wood that's already detached from the ground, and obviously the person put some effort into it already to start chopping this wood to use for his own fireplace, and still you're allowed to take it if you're a soldier. Inami, or third difference, Hasan Balachin, Hacha B'Yaveshim. Yeshua was only permitted taking moist wood, and this takana goes a step further and even allows taking Yaveshim, even allows taking dry wood. Good, so that was that was what we added to the Takanas Yehoshua. Now the Brisa went on to say, Rav Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Af Chon B'Kol Makom U'Makom Shenaragim Shamnik Barim, that soldiers, wherever they die, that's where they're buried. Says Gemara Pshita, Meis Mitzvah Kona Makomo. If he dies as a soldier, he's a Meis Mitzvah, and the halacha is, if you find a Meis Mitzvah, you bury him on the spot, a Meis Mitzvah is Kona Makomo. In Shulchan Aruch, in Yardes, in Shin Samach Dal, we pass in this halacha, that a Meis Mitzvah is Kona Makomo, you're not allowed to move him to somewhere else. So the Yamshul Shlomo explains that Bisman Azeh, we tend not to do that. We bring him to a Beis HaKvaros because Rov HaSados belong to Gayim, and the Takana of Yehoshua, the Meis Mitzvah Kona Makomo, is not going to apply to a Sadah Shal Gayim, to a Sadah that belongs to Gayim. But because the Gay is obviously, he's not going to be happy about it, and he might desecrate the grave. He might remove the grave. So that's why we don't do it. But really, Mikra Adin, the Halach is Meis Mitzvah Kona Makomo, and therefore it should be no different over here either. So says Melo Tzricha, Aval Gav Di Isle Kovrin. No, the case of the soldier is different, even though there are people that would be Osek Bikfuraso, so he's not really a Meis Mitzvah. He doesn't fit the technical definition of Meis Mitzvah. So Yehoshua was not Misakin that he should be Kona Makomo from that perspective, but nevertheless, because he's a soldier, there's an additional takana that he's kona makomo. Titania, Ezu Meis Mitzvah. What's the definition of Meis Mitzvah? Kol Shein Lo Kovrin. Anyone who doesn't have anyone to bury him. Kore Va'achirim On Noso. Ein Zeh Meis Mitzvah. But if you were to call out and someone would answer the call and bury him, then he's not a Meis Mitzvah, and therefore a Kohen would not be able to be Metametim, because other people could be Osik in the Kavura. So you see that just like he's not Bechal Meis Mitzvah as far as a Kohen being Metametim, he's also not a Meis Mitzvah as far as being kona makomo, because Yehoshua was only misakin kona makomo for someone who's an actual Meis Mitzvah. What does it mean? Kore v'achirim onimo? So that if you call out, someone would answer. So the Tosfos Rid explains, kore v'achirim onimo, so means that if there's someone that's osek in kvuras hameis, the Kohen is not allowed to be metame. So meaning if there's someone else who handles kvuras hameis, and he's a mochiach this way from the Mishnah Maseches Nazir and Daf Mem Zayin, where there's machlokas tanaim by a Nazir and a Kohen who are traveling on the road, and they encounter a Meis Mitzvah. So which one of them should be Tame, the Nazir or the Kohen? So you see that when there's someone else that's able to be Osik in the Mace, the Kohen or the Nazir is not allowed to be Metame Tim, meaning whichever one is the better option, the other guy is not allowed to be Metame. So you see, that's what it means, that Kore V'Achirim Onoso means that if there's some other option, question of who could do it. However, he then quotes that Yesh Mefarshim differently, that Korim V'Achirim Onim Oso is not about the Kohen who finds the Mace Mitzvah B'Derech, it's about the Mace himself, meaning if the Mace were alive and he were to call out to somebody else, to a relative, and there are relatives that would take care of him, take that responsibility, then he's not a Mace Mitzvah, because the Krovim are the ones that should be Osik in the Kvura. But if he doesn't have any Krovim who would be Osik in his Kvura, then he's a Mace Mitzvah, even if the Kohen who finds him could technically find other people to handle it. Mace Mitzvah is defined as someone who doesn't have anyone that's particularly close to him, someone who would take responsibility for it. That's the Yesh Mefarshim. So two different understandings. And we've shown him how we understand, how we define Kore V'Acherim Onim Osam. So says Gemara, the Mace Mitzvah Kodem Makomo? Wait a second, is that true that the Mace Mitzvah is Kodem Makomo? V'atanya Amotzi is Mace Mutal B'Sratya. If you find the Mace on a highway, Mifanei in a Srat or the smaller Srat, you can move him to the right or to the left. So the bar, or you find him in a field that's untilled, the Sadanir, or a plowed field, Mifanei Sadabar. So you move him to the field that's not being used, that's not a plowed field. Sadanir, Sadazarif, on one side you have a plowed field, and on the other side you have an already planted field, Mifanei Sadanir. You always bury him in the place that's less needed, that's less important to people. Hayushtayan Niros, Shtayan Zruos, Shtayan Boros, if both sides of the road have the same types of fields, Mifanei, the Kol Ruach Sheyirtza, then you can move him to whichever place you want. But the bottom line is, you're moving him. He's not Kona Makomo. So how can you say Meis Mitzvah is Kona Makomo? So Rabbi B'Yachim Meis Mutal Al Meitzer Askinan. No, they were talking about that a mace is lying across the width of the road. So there's no way you could bury him there, because no one is going to be able to travel there. Everyone's going to become Tamei B'Tumma Sowel. So you have to move him in that case. Mitok Shinu Rishul Savnozim in a Meitzer, Mifnei, the Kol Ruach Sheyirtza. So once anyway you're going to move him, so then you could decide based on which is the more convenient place to move him, where you want to move him. But generally speaking, a Meis Mitzvah is in fact Kona Makomo. Upturim Mirchitzas Yidayim. We then said that the soldiers are Patur from washing their hands. That's only that the Patur from Mayim Rishonim. But Mayim Achronim is a Chova, and they have to do that. Right? That's the discussion. Is Mayim Achronim Chova? When we say Mayim Achronim Chova, does that mean it's a greater Chiv than Mayim Rishonim, or a lesser Chiv than Mayim Rishonim? So from this Gemara, it sounds like it's a greater Chiv, because the Patur for the Atchei Tzava is only going to be about Mayim Rishonim, not about Mayim Achronim. Amrum Chiv Barashim Neima Amrum Mayim Achronim Chova. Why is it that Mayim Achronim is so severe? Mibri Shemel Tzdomus Yesh Shemesame Yasei Naim. Because Chamir is Sakanta Meisura, and it's a Sakana with Mayim Achronim, because you have Mel Tzdomus that gets on the hands, and it could be Mesame Yasei Naim, it could blind a person, and that's why Mayim Achronim is so much more serious. So Tosus writes, yeah, that's if you have Mel Tzdomus around. But we, who don't have Mel Tzdomus available to us, Mela, it's not a Sakana anymore, so Mayim Achronim is less serious than Mayim Rishonim. It's not, you don't even have to do it at all, Tosso says. The Ritva, however, says that no, there's another Gemara. The Gemara in Bachel, Staf Nun Gimel, says, Viskadashtem, Eilu Mayim Rishonim. V'yisem Kedoshim, Eilu Mayim Achronim. So it sounds like that based on the Pasuk, there's some ritual obligation of Mayim Achronim. It's not just Stam because of Melech Tzdomus. And if that's the case, Mayim Achronim would still be knowing Bizman Hazeh. There's a third possibility. The Gemara over there also says that Yadayim Zuhamos are Psulim Lebracha, that if you have dirty hands, then you're not allowed to say a bracha. It's just not nice to say a bracha with dirty hands. So that's a nafkamina between them, right? What if one person is being motzi everybody else, right? What if you don't have melts them? So all these nafkaminas between these different possible reasons as to why it is. I have my second sefer, all these of my machron. Am Rabbi Mishtacha Kekurta Bekora, that the melts domus is found in very small amounts from like one korat, one little kernel in a large core of melach. You'll find a little bit of melts domus mixed in. Am Ravashi Kail Milchamai. What if a person is someone who measures out salt? Does he have to wash his hands after measuring the salt? He didn't eat anything. So does he have a din of Mayim Achronim after dealing with salt? Amalei, halom ibai, what kind of shy? The whole idea of Mayim Achronim is because you might have touched Melech Tzdomus. So if you're a salt guy, that's what you do for a living. So then you better wash your hands at the end of the day. Says Gemara Vaitu, mi demai. We said that the soldiers are apart from demai. Ditznan, machil vesanim, demai vesachsanya demai. Demai is something we can even feed to aniyim, and you can give it to any guest. So the anshei tzava are that come to fight a war are also guests. So they're mekil that you can they can give them demai as well. There's a discussion whether we're talking about Jewish anshei tzava. The Rashi says we're talking about Jews over here. Tosaf quotes from Yerushalmi that it's a machlokas tanaim if we're talking about Jewish soldiers or non-Jewish soldiers. And Tosaf says even if you say that we're talking about nachrim, the mishnah still needs to be mechadesh that you're allowed to feed them demai because you're not allowed to feed tevel even to nachrim because it's also bahana. It's only b'demai that we're making. Amrav huna tana beishami amrim ein machlin asanim demai vesachsani demai that we don't feed aniyim or nachsani demai beisilul amrim machlin asanim demai vesachsani demai that thing that we just said that you're allowed to feed an ani and an achsani demai that's only shitas beisilul but beishami happens to disagree with that. Tosfos raises the question: why do you have to tell me that? Once you told me that you're allowed to do it, why do you then have to say, oh, but by the way, beishami disagrees? Beishami magum beisilul zayin the mishnah. We don't pass on beishami anyway. So Tosfos says no. That in general, like the Mishnah Nidiyah says, we always have to report the rejected opinion as well, in case some chacham is going to come up in some later generation and say, you know, I think maybe the halacha should be this way, and maybe Vesil didn't really mean it. So we could say, no, that your opinion has been recorded, it's been noted, and it's been rejected. It was the Shita of Beis Shammai, so therefore we need to have it on record that Shita is Beis Shammai. Umi la'ariv, we then said that they are put from doing an Erev as well. Sarmid ve'rabiyane lo shanu el eruvi chatzeros, aval eruvi tchumen chayav, and chayav and eruvi tchumen, presumably because eruvi tchumen is a requirement midaraisa. Detan Rav Chia lokan al eruvi tchumen dvar Torah, because Rav Chia says it's a din daraisa that you're not allowed to go outside of Tchum Shabbos based on the pasuk of Shvu ish tachtav al yetze ish mimakomo bayom ha-shvi'i. So the Gemara is going to dash on daf nun aleph that a person is not allowed to leave the Tchum Shabbos, and therefore there are no special kulas of tchumen for these soldiers. So Masma Rav Yonasan v'chilokin alav shaba'al. Do we give malchus for a lav that the lashon the Torah uses in expressing the lav is al and not lo? So Masma Rav Bar Yaakov elameata. You think we don't? What about the pasuk d'chsev al tifnu alavos v'leyadonim? That you're not allowed to turn to soothsayers and things like that to find out your future. So Achanami d'lalaki. You think you don't get malchus for that? Sure, you get malchus for that. Tos says, yeah, not so pasha that you got malchus for that because in malchin because it's a lav shein b'maisa. So maybe you shouldn't get. But we're saying within the shita that you get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. So it's obvious that you get malchus that even though it's a lashon of al. So says Gemara, that couldn't have been what bothered Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan hachi kashalei. Here's what bothered him. Lav shein b'maisa asaros misas beizin. Kol lav shein b'maisa asaros misas beizin ein lokan lav. That problem is that it's a lav shein b'maisa asaros misas beizin because the pasuk of al yetze ish mimakomo not only refers to the Yisra of Tchumen, it also refers to the Yisra of Hotsa'a, which is a malacha on Shabbos. And any lav shenitin l'asaros misas beizin, you shouldn't get malchus. How can you get malchus on Tchumen? Some Ravashi, miksiv al yotzi, al yetze ksiv. No, that is not the basis of the source of Hotsa'a. It doesn't say al yotzi, don't carry something from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos Ravim. It says al yetze, which makes it sound like that it's an issue of Tchumen and not an issue of Hotsa'a. So, Hadin Lach Mavoyim, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Perek Osen Pasen.